Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure, as you know. And I know it's like a dream come true for you two. And you're going to be glad you hung out with us because we got Dr. Robert Sorin with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's a dentist. And and we're going to get him to tell us about the different ways, the way his practice has taken its course, because he also does, some pretty interesting things in his practice. We're going to talk about a lot of different things. We're going to talk about some of that, some of the new stuff that's coming out in dentistry, what are the challenges being a dentist / business owner, because that's what he is. He's a small business owner. And by the way, I'll point out that he is a member of the American Dental Association, also the Academy of Osseointegration. Aren't you impressed that I was able to say that? And the Academy of General Dentistry, and on a number of affiliations. And he's our new friend, Dr. Sorin. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you today?
You're doing great. It's good to have you here. And by the way, folks, I'll point out that Dr. Sorin practices in a pretty competitive marketplace there in Manhattan. And Dr. Sorin, answer this question for me. Now, you started practice, if I'm not mistaken, in 1979. Is that correct?
That's correct.
What made you want to become a dentist? You know, probably what, 10 years before that, or how early did you know that you wanted to be a dentist?
Well, actually, my dad was in the business, but on the other end, he owned a dental laboratory. So I had experience and exposure at a very early age.
So you were probably in there earning your three squares by doing sweeping the floors and
I did a lot of that. Yes, I did.
Well, good for your dad for instilling that kind of a work ethic in you, but also for imprinting you on your industry. And so, go ahead.
Well, I thought from an early age I had an interest in science and I had an interest in art, and for me it was a really good blend of both of those areas of interest.
Now, when you started out though in 79. How prevalent was cosmetic dental treatment?
Well, it certainly didn't have the emphasis in society that it has now.
Right.
And if I can just share a couple of statistics with you.
Sure.
In 2007, $13 to $14 billion was spent on cosmetic procedures. And that's up from in 2004, when the estimate was about $8.5 billion. So certainly, you know, with the exposure and the prevalence in the media of appearance-related issues, mm-hmm. There's been a huge growth in demand for aesthetic kinds of services.
And isn't it important to point out, if I'm wrong here now, isn't it important to point out that when we talk about cosmetic surgery, one of the main foundations of that practice is implants. Right.
Well, implants that are placed in the front portion of the mouth have cosmetic implications.
Well, yeah, I have all my teeth. I got a couple of caps, but I.
So it sounds like you're doing something right.
Well, I'm trying. I'll tell you, one of my personal goals in life, Dr. Sorin, is to die with all my teeth. Now, that's my goal. In fact, I have a new dentist. I had one dentist for many, many decades, and he finally retired. And that's when you know you've been around a while, Dr. Sorin, is when your dentist retires on you. But I've got a young dentist now. It's a lady. And so the first time I met her, I said, "Are you going to be my dentist?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Then I want you to promise me that you'll help me keep my teeth till I die." And she said, "Okay, you got a deal. But if something happens and I don't keep my teeth that I was born with, want to have implants. I don't want dentures."
That makes perfect sense to me.
That's music to your ears too, right?
Absolutely. I think that that's a procedure that's more reliable,
right.
That's certainly more comfortable, that these days is extremely predictable, and you know, gives you the look and feel of having something of your own.
Now, talk to us about enough of the inside the mouth thing. Let's talk about the marketplace. Talk to us about what it's like competing in the dental industry. I mean, a lot of people don't really think of our dentists or our medical professionals as competing for our business, but the truth is, you guys are in the marketplace just like me. You're small business owners just like me, and the truth is, in the 21st century, if you don't think about it like this, you're probably not going to be as successful as you could.
Well, I think you raised some important issues. I think that you know, as a small business owner and as an entrepreneur, I face similar problems and similar challenges that other small business owners face. I think that we need to find a way to determine who we are. How do we define ourselves in our marketplace? How do we, I guess, you know, you've had guests on who talk about branding. How do we, yep, how do we define what we do well? How do we get those, how do we get that information out to the public and prospective clients or patients? And how we do it, and how do we do it in a way that's within our comfort level and within our own, you know, within our own ethical guidelines. And I think that for us, that's been the challenge for me. There are a lot
because there are restrictions on your ability to advertise.
Well, they certainly have diminished in recent years, mm-hmm, and certainly I think there is a certain amount of freedom now in the marketplace that organizations like the American Dental Association allow us.
Yeah, we're seeing more advertisement by dental professionals.
Yeah, and I think that you know, in the field of quote unquote cosmetic dentistry where I operate, I think that's a problem both for practitioners, both for dentists and for patients. You know,
why is that a problem? What do you think is the problem?
Well, I think the problem is how do you define cosmetic dentistry? What does that really mean to patients and people who are practicing it?
Right.
And how do you find somebody who can really deliver what your expectations are?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the situations that we've had to deal with here, because I think that in the year 2008, cosmetic dentistry has moved beyond just appearance-related issues. And I think that those of us who have studied this and who have practiced this are trying to move to a situation where we're able to incorporate health, comfort, and beauty and give patients the entire package.
Because the holistic approach, not just the teeth. Stand by,
well,
Dr. Sorum.
You know,
hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages. And I'm Jim Blasingame, man. I'm gonna go floss before I come back. I'll be right back. Stay with us. Bit of Heart bringing us back. Ann and Nancy, the Wilson sisters. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking and rolling with Dr. Robert Sorum. He's a cosmetic dentist in the great city of New York, of Manhattan. And by the way, folks, my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz.biz. Use the first one to find all the things that we do here, including the show and the articles and the archives and the Brain Trust members and the newsletter and the blog. Lots and lots of stuff there and more to come. And, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you get small business answers now. Dr. Sorum and I are talking about his practice, his dental practice, and how dentistry has changed. The fact that you might not think about it, folks, but dentists really have to really focus on the fact that they have a brand, just like you and I have brands. How do we differentiate ourselves from our competition? And Dr. Sorum, I know you want to talk about that in a second, but before you do, I want to come back to what I used. I use the term holistic, and I didn't mean that in a technical way. I meant that in sort of a comprehensive term. Maybe I should have said comprehensive. I don't know. Maybe not. But I think you took a little issue with my use of the word holistic.
No,
I'm gonna let you respond to that.
I think comprehensive is great.
Yeah. So because holistic has another connotation, doesn't it?
Well, to some in dentistry, it does.
Yeah, in what way?
Well,
you mean like aromatherapy with your when you're getting your tooth drilled or something?
Well, not really, but there is some controversy as to you know, the role of silver amalgam and the role that it plays in health, and I don't think that's an area I choose to visit.
I got you. Okay, well, we won't visit that. So how does a dentist differentiate himself or herself?
Well, this actually, it's an ongoing process that we're going through now, where I sat down with my team, and I got to tell you, I'm surrounded by a really, truly great bunch of people who believe in our vision of outstanding care for patients, and we try to decide what it is that we do well. And as a result of that, we came up with a plan, you know, based upon what we call relationship-based dentistry. And what that means for us is that we have an opportunity to really sit down and talk to our patients at length. You know, one good thing about what we've done here, and for years we haven't been insurance dependent.
Right.
It gives us the opportunity to operate outside decisions that are made by insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
And what that really does is it gives us an opportunity to relate to our patients and talk at length about what their concerns are. Why are they coming to see us? How do they feel about themselves and their smile and cosmetic concerns that they may have? So,
you know, Dr. Soren, everything you've said, ladies and gentlemen, every single element of what Dr. Soren has said for the last 90 seconds is 100% applicable to every single small business on planet Earth. Good job, Dr. Soren. Go ahead.
Thank you. So, you know, once we have an opportunity to sit down and discuss our patients' concerns, we're able to then determine what their needs are. You know, we're able to do a comprehensive examination, determine what situations exist in their mouth, and then we're able to sit down and talk a little bit about both their short-term and long-term goals and how we can best accomplish what it is that they want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily my agenda. I think that there has to be input from patients so we can determine what it is that they want to be able to accomplish. And then we mm-hmm. act simply in a supporting role to help them get there.
As opposed to, and I don't mean this crude example anyway except as a metaphor. You know, some people say if you all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Correct.
And so if all you have is an implant, everybody you look at looks like a prospect to have an implant. You know, you don't presume going in that you know what they want, or that you're already made up your mind that you prescribe for them the moment you lay eyes on them. And see, that's the thing that small business owners have got to do, if they're selling shoelaces or battleships or whatever they're doing. Is, you know, let the customer tell you what's on their mind. Let them tell you what their concerns are, what they want. You know, not even just what they need, but what do they want? Because what they want, Dr. Soren, as you well know, is a lot different from what they need.
You know, that's an issue that I struggled with for many years in dentistry, because I think you come out of dental school, you know what patients need. But it takes a long time to figure out how to find out what it is that they want. And I think that what really is working for me now is this, you know, relationship-based process mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. I don't have to tell them what they need. I'm able to sit back, listen to what it is that they want. I'm not going to let them make an incorrect decision. I'm not going to do dentistry that I think doesn't meet my standards of mm-hmm. care. But I think that it builds such a stronger relationship with patients when you let them become part of the process and you actually let them talk and inform you what it is that they're concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we looking to do? We're looking to build relationships based on trust and confidence with our patients so we can continue relationships in the future. And hopefully, if you've done what you've said you were going to do and you've exceeded their expectations, they'll say something nice about you to somebody else.
And give you referrals, which are solid gold for any business. Dr. Soren, you got a website?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
www.nycdmd.com.
All right. nycdmd.com, right?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Soren, for being here. You've enlightened us a lot on your profession and yourself as a small business owner. We'll do this again sometime.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Soren. Quick break. Right back. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.